Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. This is the reading of God's word. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And as we hear your word, cause our faith to grow. And with that growing faith, let us live that life that will bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that through your word, let us hear your loving voice telling us what you have done and what you have accomplished in Jesus Christ. And let us also see through your word what is true of us in heaven forever and ever. And Father, let us give you all the glory. Let us give you all the thanksgiving. Receive all the glory, Father. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let me remind you that Paul, he begins this section in early part of chapter 2. And in verse 6, Jesus, well, through Paul, says that we must walk in Jesus Christ. Now in verse 7, he explains what that is, walk in Jesus Christ. Having been firmly rooted in Christ and now being built up in Him, and we are established in our faith just as we were instructed, and we are overflowing with gratitude. And Paul warns about the false teachings that hinder this walk in Jesus Christ, the elementary principles of the world. That is not according to Jesus Christ, he says. Jesus Christ is our God, and we have been made complete in him. Jesus Christ is everything for us, and we are saved by him and him alone. We must not add anything to what he has alone accomplished, and in him we have received the true circumcision, the circumcision of our hearts. We are united to him in all things through our faith in him. We have been died with him and resurrected with him. And that's where we stopped last time, verse 12. Now we come to verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We must remember that we were spiritually dead. We were completely separated from our Lord Jesus Christ in our unbelief. We were dead. We were completely dead. And yet, God still loved us. And even though we were separated from our God, who is the true source of life, the eternal life, and we were in the state of complete abandonment of God, God still loved us. The wage of sin is death. And not just physical death, but eternal death. And this was our reality that the uncircumcision of our flesh used to witness. As Gentiles, if we were living at the Old Testament time, our uncircumcision of our flesh will witness what? They were dead. They were separated from our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But the gospel, the good news is what? But, we're like that, but God made us alive. Us who were dead in our sins. God made us alive. But that together with Jesus Christ. So spiritually, we have been made alive together with Christ already. But the bodily resurrection, as you know, we need to wait until our Lord comes back. And from this point, Paul tells us what our God and Lord Jesus Christ have done and accomplished for us. So let's go to the latter part of that verse 13. The first thing that God has done, He having forgiven us all our transgressions. Now we have already seen this. Jesus Christ, our Lord, He bore all of our sins. Not just sins that you just committed last week. All the past sins and the present sins and the future sins. He bore all your sins and He died on the cross. Not just a physical death, but the eternal death, the spiritual death. And He died for us. And He died in our places. He died instead of us. And we died with Him. And with His blood that He has shed on the cross, our God has completely cleansed our sins. Through once and for all, perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving Himself as that perfect sacrifice, He has sanctified us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and 12 and 18. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Thus God says in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12, for I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. This is what happened to us. That Paul is joyous to tell us. First thing, God has forgiven us all our sins. Now we go to verse 14. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hear what he says. The certificate of death, an official document that states our debts. And when you receive a bill for your credit card, that's your debt. The official document. You cannot get out of it until you pay. Philemon only has chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. But if he has wronged you in any way, Paul says this, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. The document or the account that God keeps. And there we have tremendous debt because of our sins. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. If we do not obey God perfectly, then you incur debt. And only way that you could pay that off is that you die forever. Because the wage of sin is death. It's getting cold. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15a says, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The certificate of debt consisting of decrees. The law. Law requires the perfect righteousness, and if anyone commits sin, then it speaks of complete judgment and curse. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Because of our sins, we have incurred tremendous amount of debt. But we have no way of paying it back. The only way of paying it back is to receive the eternal judgment of hell, which is the eternal death, because that is the wage of sin. So if you're trying to be saved by obeying the law, only thing you will do is incur more debt because you have no ability to obey his commandments perfectly. Thus, the law was against us this way. Even the law itself, God's law itself, is a good thing. But because of our sins, now law is against us. This is what verse 14a says. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. It was against us and it was hostile to us. Why? Because it requires perfect obedience. But God, in that verse says, he canceled out the certificate of debt. No more debt. God has canceled it all. Verse 14b says, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. See, when that official document that states your debt, if that is gone or completely taken away, then you're free. You don't have to pay the wage of sin. And this is what God has done, it says. Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He has taken it out of the way, so there is no more. God expressed it this way, nailed it to the cross. As if to say that that certificate of debt itself died with Christ. Thus, it has no efficacy anymore, no validity any longer. The law cannot kill us anymore. No, we are not saying that we do not need the law anymore. We do. But for our salvation, law is not needed. Actually, for our salvation, if you want to be saved by the law, it will kill you forever. Only in Jesus Christ this happens. But see, we read in the book of Revelation, for non-Christians, God keeps the account. There's a book that He will open and it will show how much you owe God. And you have no way of paying it except by going to hell forever. Oh, God keeps our account also, believers, but there our account will say, paid in full. And you say, who did this? Who paid everything for me? Well, you already know the answer, Jesus Christ. Hear what Paul is telling us. He's trying to tell us the good news that what has happened to you. That your account says paid in full. And not only just saying paid in full, that it was taken out of the way, nailed it to cross. It has died with Christ. No one will bring that up again. Not even God. That's why he says, I will not even remember your sins. He's not going to say, you know, young, you remember you did this? No, see, he's not even going to bring up again because he's paid in full. This is how perfectly our Lord accomplishes our salvation. Now some people say teaching these kind of things will make people sin more. No. This is what the Bible teaches. And if God blesses you, if He pours out His grace as you understand these words, you will want to be holy. That you will fight more with sin because you understand what God has done for you. That God loves you and that love will compel you to live that holy life. See, it's when you don't receive God's grace, some people will use these kind of verses as a license to sin more. No. This is why every time you come to this worship, as you hear God's word, you need to really pray hard that God will pour out His grace upon you. See, when you come, that's why it's so important to come early. Because you need to pray. Or if you want to pray here, pray at home. Because if you don't pray, then you're depending on me. Oh, you know what's going to happen when you depend on me. See, you depend on me to preach and somehow it will just make you holy. That's not going to happen unless God blesses. He pours out His grace. You got to depend on God. And I pray that you would do that. Romans chapter 7 verse 6 says, "But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter." You have been released from the bondage of the law. Verse 15, "When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." So understand the flow of his argument. He paid and he forgave all your sins and the certificate of death is destroyed completely. And he disarmed the rulers and authorities. And he made a public display of them. Not only our God nailed the certificate of death to the cross, he also has disarmed the rulers and authorities. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." This sinful world is fallen in sin. And there are the rulers, the powers, the world forces, and the spiritual forces working very hard, even now. See, don't think that this world is neutral. And that's the mistake, that's the grave misunderstanding for some Christians. They think that this world is neutral. It's not neutral. There are forces working out there to remove you away from God. Of course, these forces are working under God's control. God lets them for a little while until Jesus returns. And He even uses it for our own good sometimes. There is Satan and fallen angels. There are nations and their leaders who are following the prince of the power of the air. These evil spirits are working in these people to persecute the church. God disarmed them. God has disarmed them. Meaning they have stripped of all their weapons being sin and death. God has disarmed them. But the evil one still tempts. And he still tempts us. But this does not mean that we are not responsible for our own actions. We are. But they are no longer master over us. See, for non-Christian, what else can that person do? everything that person does is sin. Because God said, everything without sin, I mean without faith, is sin. Now, according to the worldly standard, non-Christians, they do good. Oh, much better than Christians many times. But still, to God, those are not good. So, they're slave to sin. The master, their master, is sin. But see, you have been set apart from that. You have been saved out of that. The sin is no longer your master. Because God has disarmed the rulers and the authorities. God has freed you. And that you must understand. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 and 26. Then comes the end, when He hands over the kingdom to God the Father. When He has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. And spiritually, He has already done this. Because you and I, we die only physically. We will never die spiritually. And that physical death is actually gain because we will not die forever. We will resurrect. And spiritually, we are already resurrected. See, you need to understand that these authorities and rulers of these dark forces, they have no control over you. That's what you need to believe. Sometimes you feel like, oh man, I'm slave to these things. It seems like I have no control over certain sins. That's not true. Oh yeah, Satan will tell you that. But that is not true. God has set you free from the bondage of sin. He disarmed their weapons. And many times we don't believe this. So that you give into this sinful temptations as if you're a slave to it. See, this has already happened for us in Jesus Christ. We have been saved from all these things. You remember verse 13 of chapter 1, Colossians? For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. You belong to a different realm now. In the realm that you belong to, only God is master in that realm. Not Satan, not evil spirits. None of these power and authorities are your masters anymore. We are no longer slave to those things. We are slave to God and God alone. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now, I need to explain that because what? If you're a Christian, you will not sin? Well, ultimately, you will not sin. And you will not sin as often. But ultimately, this is true that you will not sin. But the point there is that the evil one cannot touch you. He could come near to you and he could talk, you know, all kinds of lies to you. He tempts you, but he cannot touch you. Remember Pilgrim's Progress? You know, there's a lion who's just so scary looking, and he comes at you, but he can only come to this much. He cannot touch you because you look at his behind, he's actually tied. So he cannot touch you. Oh, he could scare you, but you don't have to be scared because he cannot do anything to you. Remember this verse that God said, I disarm them. Do not live as if you are still slaves to these things. Chapter 2, verse 10, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, God has seated Jesus Christ far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. That you need to understand that Jesus is victorious over all rules and authorities. And our verse says, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Now, we find the complete opposite in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Mary was pregnant with a son. And put yourself in Joseph's shoes. What happened to my wife? She's pregnant. And he knows that it wasn't him. But Joseph, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. I just give you that verse so that you could understand the opposite of that in our verse, that God has made a public display of them. Meaning God shamed them. Now, depending on what translation you have, it will be a little bit different way at the end. The Bible translation that I have has, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, through Jesus Christ. So it is God the Father who made a public display of them. But other translation will say, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through the cross. In Greek, through it. So what is that? Well, through the cross. NIV will have triumphing over them by the cross. Yes, it is through him and it is through his cross. So whichever you have, I mean, that verse is not saying wrong things because you have different translations. But our God is triumphant. Now, this is what you need to understand at the background. Jesus Christ is victorious. During the time of Roman Empire, when a general is triumphant in a war, he will return to the city, his city, in a triumphant march with all of his prisoners in tow. You could picture this, right? His triumphant general returning to his city and all the prisoners he captured in tow. And it's a shameful march for those prisoners. So this general is making a public display of shame. And that's the meaning in our verse. Now, look at once again what our verse says. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through cross, through the cross. It says that through his death on the cross, triumphant Jesus Christ made a public display of all of his enemies. This is what our verse says. When you look at the cross, do you see what our verse is saying? The world, the sinful world, will say that they see the exact opposite. It seems to them Jesus is not victorious. It seems to them defeated and perishing. It seems to them Jesus is made a shameful and humiliating public display. But look at what our verse is saying. Jesus is making a public display of them. But the world will never see that when they see the cross. Will they? Question is, what do you see when you see the cross? Defeated Jesus or victorious Jesus? Is Jesus make them a public display of shame and humiliation? Or is they making Jesus a public display? You could go either way, depends on what you are saying. Yes, Jesus bore our shame also, because he bore our sins. But that is not only thing you must see in the cross. There, Jesus is actually victorious. Who is truly victorious, brothers and sisters in Christ? What do you see when you look at the cross? The cross is the victory. Do you see it? This sinful world will never see it. And we are called to participate in that victory. Do you see our victory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? And if all we say is true, then how do you think your victory will be expressed as you live your life here on earth? What do you think? The cross is not a defeat. It's the victory. And there on the cross, God is making a public display of all the forces that is against him. Oh, brothers and sisters, you must see truly what is happening on the cross. Now, through that victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his victory, hear what is true of us in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 through 37. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Do you understand what those verses are saying? That we are truly victorious. But when we live here on our earth, there will be tribulation or distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, all kinds of persecutions and sufferings will come. But those things are not sign of defeat. It's not sign of judgment. Those things will not separate us from the love. Rather, those things are not the proof that you have been separated from God's love. Because that's how the world will see. When they see you suffer, they say, oh, God has abandoned you. God does not love you anymore. And it's bad enough if someone else says that. It's worse when you say to yourself, because you're suffering, because there are all kinds of bad things happening in your life, so-called bad according to the world, you say, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. The cross is not a sign of defeat. The suffering is not the proof that God doesn't love you anymore. Do you understand what Paul is saying? Yes, you're going to suffer because of Christ. But it's like for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is what our life, he describes our life as a sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. We already have victory. Even if all the world will look at me and say, man, God has abandoned that guy. It still doesn't mean that God does not love me anymore. Our Lord has turned the world upside down. World will never understand what the Bible is saying. Because they will never say the cross is the victory. How could they? Jesus looks like hopeless and helpless, captured and dying on the cross as a criminal. How's that victory? But it is. And that is victory for you. Because it's not about this world. It's about Jesus Christ and the heavenly kingdom that he established. Let me just read the rest of chapter 8 of Romans. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go out and witness that victory. Even when the whole world will not understand. But always know that you are victorious in Christ. Think about what our verses are saying to us. That when I stand before God, I might be very poor in this world. I might not be that much educated. I might be, I don't know, going through all kinds of difficult times, and according to the world, you know, if God is there, why is it like this? If God loves that person, why is it like that? Whatever it is. Because of your faith in Christ, you are his son. And he says that all your sins are forgiven verse 12 and 13. All your sins are forgiven. And the certificate of death is no more. And that Jesus disarmed the rulers and principalities and authorities, that you are no longer slave to them. Actually, God on the cross made a public display of them. This is what is true of you. Believe what he tells you. Do not judge things according to your physical eyes, because it will always lie to you. But judge everything according to the word, because the word is the truth. Let us pray to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is truly the lamp upon our feet. It shows us the way to you, way to our God. And it shows us the truth. Let us not listen to the lies of this world, but let us listen to your voice through your word. Oh Father, bless us that we may understand your word and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you, now and forever. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.